necessary to complete the preliminary architectural requirements from the USDA. And the attached quotes that are in your packet there from summer 2022, and therefore 7% has been added to the estimates in keeping with the average inflation rate for goods and services. We are in the process right now of working with the fire district. They are working with U.S. Geometrics and Universal Engineering to get updated quotes that will be valid as of now. So that is why there is a 7% discrepancy between the estimates that I attached and the amount we're asking for approval for. And that is the end of my.
Thank you, honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
No questions. Thank you, honey.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right, I don't have anything either. Is there any public comment regarding item number 22? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve to authorize Story County to enter into an agreement with U.S. Geometric Surveying for an ALTA survey for an approximate amount of $25,680, not to exceed $30,680, and approximately $21,828, not to exceed $26,828 for geotechnical reporting and inspection by Universal Engineering for to complete the United States Department of Agriculture application requirements for Fire Station 71 in Virginia City.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, honey. Moving on to item number 23 is to recess to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. Bring us to item number 26, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of retaining the law firm of Napoli Schnolnick PLLC to represent the sewer and water district in recouping potential costs of mitigating the contamination of water supplies by per and polyfluoro substances, also known as PFAS, and other hazardous water contaminants that may be required under potential law, potential new regulations by the U.S. EPA. As applicable, the firm is a nationwide firm that specializes in a number of areas, including environmental law issues. The retainer agreement provides that if there is no recovery, there is no cost to the district. If there is a recovery, the firm will keep 25% of gross recovery and recoup its costs. The remainder will go to the district. Deputy DA Loomis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. So this is a request that was directed to the Water and Sewer Board. The when it came in, it looked to me this firm is retaining or trying to retain clients across the country to address this type of issue. And the proposal is that if retained, what they will do is recoup the costs that the Water Sewer and Water District is going to have to incur to meet the new requirements that are coming up. Now this. Initially, this looked to me something like the opioid litigation issue that we've had in the past. And so I contacted the Attorney General's office to find out if the state was doing anything about this. His response was he didn't know, but he'd get back. And he did get back with quite a bit of information that apparently in 2021, a bill was passed in the legislature that asked NDEP to do a study. Former study group to look into this, and that's what they are doing now. They have not completed their process of making recommendations or issuing a report, but they're getting close to it. So in any event, this is a before you to consider whether or not the Sewer and Water District wants to retain this firm to pursue litigation to recoup the costs of remediating the problems with what these are kind of the permanent chemicals that can't be destroyed currently to see if we want to do that. So that's what it's before you for today.
All right. Thank you, Keith.
And Jason is available to get into the nuts and bolts of this, the problems with the permanent chemicals and what the costs of recoupment are going to be if the board is concerned about it.
All right. Jason, is there anything you wanted to chime in on before I check with my fellow commissioners.
Yes, Chairman, Commissioners, Jason Wardbicky for the record. Being on the or board member for the Nevada Rural Water Association, we were advised by National Rural Water of the steps EPA was taking towards mitigation of PFAS. In March of this year, the EPA took a key step to protect public health by proposing to establish legally enforceable levels for six PFAS known to occur in drinking water, fulfilling the foundational commitment in the agency's PFAS strategic roadmap. Through this proposed rule, the EPA is leveraging the most recent science and building on existing state efforts to limit PFAS to provide a nationwide health protective level for these specific PFAS in drinking water. By the end of this year, they're supposed to have the actual guidelines that all water systems will be required to follow, whether it be testing and potential filtration mitigation. Currently, with the proposal, our filtration plant will need some heavy modifications. What this Napoli Skolnick is doing, like Mr. Loomis had stated, is they're getting into something similar to a class action type of thing against the PFAS manufacturers to force them to pay for testing and mitigation of this chemical with water systems throughout the whole United States. And unfortunately, PFAS is a widely used, long-lasting chemical. It's also nicknamed the lifelong chemical. It's in firefighting foams, firefighting turnout gear, treated clothing that is stain-resistant or waterproof. It's in fast food and packaged food containers such as French fry boxes, pizza boxes, hamburger wrappers. It's in makeup, personal care products, shaving cream, floor care products, cleaning products. And what happens is when this stuff goes, you know, through a sewer system and in the ground, it potentially affects groundwater and surface water alike. So unfortunately, well, fortunately as well, EPA is taking steps to control all this stuff, much like they did last year with all the new lead and copper rules that we're forced to have to follow. But with that aspect, we don't have the option of the financial help like this potentially does towards remediation of the PFAS. That's basically all I have. I can try to answer more questions that you have because this is a new rule that's changing every day, every hour. It's going to hurt groundwater systems a lot more than surface water, but since, you know, surface water ends up going into groundwater, it drags us into the mix as well. I'm happy to try to answer any more questions that you might have.
Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this point?
Well, I guess the question would be is, from our legal standpoint, is there a valid reason why we wouldn't sign on to this type of representation at this point? Is there a negative to joining this at this point in time, Keith?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we will have to pay, if there is a recovery, they'll get their attorney's fees and their costs back, and the rest will go to the sewer and water districts.
It has the propensity of helping us, I assume. Yeah, if, in fact, the EPA is successful in putting something that's very impactive, it has the probability of helping us, I assume.
Yes, if I can comment on that. Ultimately, this, you know, when enforced, will end up helping save our ratepayers some money out of pocket towards our small system, you know, bearing that, you know, it just won't allow them to front 100% of the cost.
So I personally can't see a reason why we wouldn't sign on with this unless there's more information to come.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions or comments?
I have a couple. Jason, I and forgive me if I missed it. Do we have any indication of our exposure or risk to PFAS within our system?
None. We're not forced to test it yet, and those regulations won't be coming out until the end of the year.
Okay. And then Keith, could you just kind of review? You'd mentioned that on first blush, it looked very similar to what happened with the class actions and all that stuff that we dealt with before. Could you just review kind of what the differences are from a legal perspective of this proposed action versus what we dealt with on the opioid epidemic stuff?
Well, I would say that in the opioid epidemic, the injured parties were the counties and the cities that were providing services to the people that were suffering from opioid addiction. This one is more of a, it's a district that is going to bear the costs of remediation and mitigation of the PFAS chemicals. And so I'd say that the clients are a little different. In the case of the opioid addiction question, there was a lot of things that were unknown at the time regarding what kind of cases these would turn out to be. And as we heard from Mr. Kruger over a number of different times, and the firm that was involved with the state, they won some of the cases, they lost some of the cases, and as the litigation moved forward, things changed as to what we thought could be obtained through that process. This one, I think we're fairly clear up front that this is going to be for a recovery of the costs of mitigating the PFAS chemicals in our drinking water through the sewer and water district, if that's responsive to your request.
Yeah, thank you. I'll tell you, on its face, I don't find anything particularly objectionable about this. I think from a philosophical perspective, I have a concern or two, and one of the differences, and correct me if I'm wrong, between the opioid and litigation, and this one was, we did not sign on to the opioid as a principal litigant, or we were not part of that. What we did accept to be part of was a distribution to the state that was then going to be passed on to the local jurisdictions. Is that a correct understanding?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with the ins and outs of how big an issue this is. I think my concern is that we pride ourselves in being very business friendly, and I don't know how much of this is, and you'll forgive the term, Keith, and any other attorneys, but ambulance chasing, for lack of a better term, and how much of this is a real issue. And I'm concerned that if we jump to sign on to any class action that comes around, especially when it's spearheaded by private firms, does that undercut our professed position as being business friendly? Does this lead to increased costs that eventually get passed on to consumers? Does participating in that system as an active participant really, really diminish our business friendliness? And so that's my only concern. It's not any particular issue with this case, but overall kind of being thoughtful about our position vis-a-vis class action lawsuits that are going to then affect industry, that then affects, and that's not an excuse for bad actors to get away with things. Certainly they should be held to account, but kind of a philosophical question about the role of the county and should we be pursuing these kind of things in a vigorous manner. So that's, I hope that's not too esoteric, but that's just kind of a concern that's on my mind.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Mitchell. I actually share your concerns. And to me, one that screams out is they know this substance is according to Jason and pretty much everything that wraps our food. Yet the only issue that they're addressing is maybe what's an easy target, and that would be the water systems that the counties have to take care of. So while I obviously don't want to make any decisions that would negatively impact constituents who do have to pay into the water district, this definitely hits close to home to me. And I personally do not want to participate in any class action lawsuits. The attorneys get to keep 25% of the gross recovery. To me, that just shows where their motivations are. And I could stand on a soapbox all day, but at the end of the day, that's kind of where I'm at. So is there any public comment regarding this item? My soapbox is big enough. Not seeing any public comment. Are you ready to make a motion?
Well, I guess what I would ask is at this point is if there's a particular, do we have time limits that we're dealing with? Is it kind of open-ended at this point? What do we know about kind of the progress of this case or any settlements that go along with it and so on and so forth?
Do you have information on that, Jason?
Yes, I do. Chairman, Commissioners, Jason Worsbeck, for the record. From what I'm being told from National Rural Water Association out of D.C. is that this Napoli Skolnick is already in negotiations with manufacturers to try to come up with settlements to assist the small water and large water systems towards this remediation. Like smaller systems like ours, testing could be cost us several thousand extra dollars of what we're not budgeted for, and remediation could be a modification to the plants from hundreds of thousands into the millions, depending on what the EPA's final governance is at the end of the year. But, you know, as for right now, from what I've been told is they've been in negotiations for a few months now. Not that long. It was like March 13th is when the EPA come out and said, okay, we're going to have governance by the end of the year. You got to follow it. So that's where we're at on that one. It's one of those. I'm not advocating either way. Just presented this out there to try to save the ratepayers some potential money down the road, because if we don't sign on to the lawsuit, we won't get any portion of the potential funding. So, like I said, I can go either way.
Jason, a couple questions for you. Does the fact that we get our water from Marlette Lake greatly reduce our exposure to PFAS?
It affects everything, even in surface water, potentially, from firefighting foams to chemicals. It's really interesting reading if you go on the EPA's website or just type in EPA and PFAS. There's all sorts of, proposed governance already and what PFAS is, where it comes from, what it's capable of doing. Of course, it's another one of those chemicals like lead and copper that's been around for hundreds of years that the EPA is now all of a sudden saying, oh, we got an issue. We need to start dealing with this. So hopefully that answers your question, maybe.
Sort of. The other question I had for you, Jason, was there any discussion about banning this item from packaging and other materials that we're in contact with every day?
There was something. They're trying to ban firefighting foam. That started around last year, I believe. I'm sure Jeremy, Fire Chief Longcar, has heard about that. That was actually an item on, I think, last year's commission. Something like that. I remember hearing something about trying to ban firefighting foam that contained PFAS.
But nothing related to our foods, the packaging you talked about, pizza boxes?
No. No, nothing that I've heard.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of digging, but not a lot of deep digging with the amount of workload.
All right. No problem. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne, just to help answer, just to add to that, I did have a casual conversation with a fire chief at one point, and he indicated that the firefighter foam has is different material now than it used to be. I'm certainly not speaking with any level of expertise, but I thought that would be helpful in answering the question. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm sure they're not putting out any fires with the foam near Marlette Lake, but I could be wrong. Anyway, are you comfortable to make a motion? Do we want to maybe look at revisiting this down the road? Is that an option?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, I think unless there's a pressing need, my preference would be to just to let it go, to not make a motion at this point. And or to make a motion to revisit it at a later time.
Okay.
Date specific or not?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
One thing I might be able to add is that the NDEP report is, I think, is supposed to come out in May. With their recommendations and what findings and whatnot.
Okay. Well, I think that may be a good time to revisit it. I mean, it seems a little interesting that they're negotiating potential mitigation in advance of potential regulations that have not yet been released. That seems like maybe we should see what those regulations are because then that would give a better idea of what the impact for mitigation would be, and then it would be a little more fact-based as far as any sort of settlement that may come through. I mean, right now it feels like they're kind of grasping for something, but we don't really even have any idea if a settlement comes through, if it's going to be anywhere in the ballpark of what might be needed for mitigation, because we don't know what kind of mitigation the EPA might require. So...
They're grasping at 25% of the gross.
Commissioner, profits. If I may.
Sorry, Commissioner Gilman or Jason, who was that?
It's Jason, for the record. Currently, the EPA has been leaning towards 4 parts per trillion, which means that could basically come up anywhere.
Yeah, but that's a pretty low concentration, is it not?
Yeah, extremely low. So it was just like the lead and copper that come out. You know, the EPA puts all these extremely low numbers on it to where somebody has to actually do something, which is rather ridiculous. But, you know, if it's not a good fit for us, we can pass. Like I said, I'm just throwing this out there to try to potentially save some ratepayers some money down the road.
For sure. And I definitely appreciate that conscientiousness as the sewer and water funds are challenging from a financial perspective. I'm curious if Commissioner